Welcome to the LifeCast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
How many of you know what tomorrow is, beyond being Monday? Yeah, it's Valentine's Day. We don't like, look into all the history of Valentine's Day and promote it or discourage it or any of those things. We just know that it's a day here in the United States that is a reminder to, buy chocolate, flowers, jewelry, something for your spouse. Or for yourself and put their name on it. I'm kidding you. If you've forgotten, you can pretend like you remembered. Come tomorrow, because I reminded you now. And this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about a little bit of the aspect of husband and wife. And if you're not married and in this room, you can just take some good notes for your possible future. If you're here and you have the gift of celibacy, God bless you. The rest of us don't. And if you're like, gift of celibacy, is that a spiritual gift? You can go look it up on your own. Find out what that is. But I know what I feel the Lord has put in my heart and prepared me to share this morning. And I know that there's a great chance that after the fact that I could catch some heat for this. It's okay. It's not like I'm walking into this ignorant. And I know there's a chance that some will misunderstand or they will take great offense at it like I'm attacking them. And that's not the case. I don't want you to take it that way. That's not it. Remember, this whole marriage idea was God's idea. I think it was a good idea. I do. I think it was a good idea. And he created it and instituted it and throughout the scripture. Let me tell you how important marriage is to God. Is he actually, marriage is such a wonderful thing in his mind that he actually draws the parallel between the marriage of a man and a woman and parallels it to Christ in the church. I mean, that's how exalted and lofty this idea is and what he instituted and how he created things to be. Now, granted, through time, we've messed things up. And some of us have grown up in a time where things were messed up in our culture that we have a very different view of what marriage is or could be or should be or all of that that has tainted us, that we think that was God's idea and we question it. I'm not going to share everything about marriage this morning. In fact, the aspect that I'm going to share, men right now in this room are kind of going, oh, no. Oh, here we go. He's going to use the old intimacy word and thing. And I got to communicate. And just hang tight, sir. I just told my wife that I'm not going to a marriage weekend in a few weeks because I'm busy. And now I show up at church and I'm going to get it anyhow. If that's you, just relax. It's okay. This whole idea of, how should the church, how should the church act towards Christ? Can you answer that in your own heart and mind? You don't have to all shout it at once, but, how are we supposed to act as a church? We're supposed to what? Do what? The things that Jesus desires of us, right? I mean, we're here this morning that, you know, we hope he gets close and gives us hope and ministers to us and heals us and encourages us. We understand all that. But we have also come to worship him, to please him, to let him know that we love him and we honor him. That we respect who he is. Uses this parallel of Christ in the church to parallel it to marriage. I'm going to share some strong things with you this morning. And the reason I know that I can catch some heat is not that men are off the hook in this room. Let me tell you something. You're going to have a couple little things this morning that you're going to go, oh yeah, that's right. But I'll tell you, our culture has come on a venue, and it's not that it's wrong, but it's always, you know, speaking to these men and the priest of the home, and you're supposed to be the head, and you're supposed to be the spiritual leader, and you're supposed to do this, and you're supposed to do this for your wife, you're supposed to, and you got a bunch of women in our culture, and I'm not saying they're in the church, just in the culture, saying, yeah, you know, men stand up, and all these gripes and complaints, and, you know, I want to talk to both of us this morning, but I want to talk to wives in this room and women in this room who are going to become wives. I'm going to give you, not because it's my idea, this is God's word, but he gives us some very simple upfront keys to allowing a marriage to operate like it should. And I'm sorry for all of us that we haven't always seen that in our own homes, growing up or even now. And, you know, how does this sound to you? Jesus, you're asking me to do something, and I don't like what you're asking me to do. So you know what? Do it yourself. I mean, is that the kind of comment you want to be caught in come judgment day? I mean, that is not how the church is supposed to treat Jesus. Is that right? We're not supposed to treat him that way. I mean, here's the deal. Even our community who maybe went to church as a kid, and I'm talking about adults, who went to church as a kid, who maybe don't believe in God or they don't really go to church much, or if they go to church, it's not real personal meaningful to them, but they still understand the concept that the church is supposed to reflect who Jesus is, right? Because they're supposed to, like, do what he says and what he did, right? And have the same attitude in them, right? Is that right? Okay, we agree on that. You feel like, oh, gee, I don't want to agree. I know he's going somewhere with this. And if I agree with him, then I'm going to be accountable for what he's about to say. I got news for you. You're already accountable for what this says. And so am I. I want to talk to you this morning. Because if the parallel is that the church is supposed to honor and respect Jesus, his wishes, his commands, and that's the parallel, the church, how they're supposed to treat Jesus, and he uses, God uses, the parallel by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, uses that parallel for husbands and wives. I want to read to you something from Ephesians chapter 5. And there's a whole part of the passage on this. I'm not going to read the whole passage to you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, NIV, New International Version, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ, we've all acknowledged it, that he is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Here's the problem that we face. One of the problems that we face. is this. We're all about honoring and respecting Jesus because he's perfect. But how does a woman, a wife, how in the world can she honor and respect her husband like she does the Lord when he's not perfect like Jesus? Right? I mean, that's tough. It's one thing to look at Jesus and he's perfect in every way. And he laid down his life because he loves us. And why Christian wives are saying, I just love Jesus so much, I just want to do whatever he said, I just want to worship him. And we still, you know, struggle and trip up, but your general motive is, I just want to, oh, Jesus. And it's right and it's good. And you know that you're supposed to treat your husband like that. And you say, oh, well, wait a minute. He doesn't treat me like Jesus treats me. Who said too bad? Too bad. Too bad. You know, it's a bummer, but that's kind of true. It's because it does not say, well, treat your husband as nice as he treats you. It just says that we're supposed to respect him and honor him as the Lord. But my husband, maybe you're in this room, you say, my husband, not only is he not perfect, he's not even a Christian. Well, I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, verse 1, it says, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, or the gospel, or the Bible, or the living word, Jesus himself, if they do not believe the word, they may be won over to what? To God's word, without words. That's really tough, isn't it, ladies? Because you really want to tell them. Right? And you know what? Here's the reality. He really needs to hear it. But I'm going to share something with you about men. Specifically, husbands. They go deaf and non-responsive to a wife's words when they don't feel respected. When the man, the husband, does not feel respected or honored, it's noise to him. Now, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not defending men. I'm not saying this is good. I'm not telling you that. I'm just telling you that the way it is. If you have complaints about the way it is, then talk to the one who created this guy. Honestly, talk to him. Not that you can't talk to your husband, but I'm just telling you, if he doesn't feel respected and he does not feel honored, that is one of the reasons he is not listening to you. It causes him to go deaf. He still sees you and he hears noise. And he knows your mouth is moving. He sees it, he hears stuff, but he is not taking it in. If you want your husband to really, really hear you, then you have to honor him and respect him. And you think, how can I honor and respect him after how he treats me and what he says and the life he lives? Listen, did you ever hear this principle? That, and you hear it a lot with teachers or educators or coaches when they're instructing children. The children will rise to a standard according to how you fuel them. That if you tell them that they are great, that they're good, it doesn't mean you don't ever correct them. It does not mean that you lie to them. In Christianity, we fuel one another, provoke one another, encourage one another by speaking to one another in the person that God is intending us to become. Even though we are not at that level yet, or that standard, or that height, or that depth. It's like you speak prophetically. I can correct my children one day. Let's say it's in the afternoon, and they did something wrong. But by evening time, I said, hey, I think you're great. I caught myself this morning. My son was down the hall. He said, hey, son, you're great. Has he ever screwed up? Yeah, he's my son. He is his father's son. He comes from me. He's a disadvantage. And he's going to mess up. But I still tell him that I believe in him and that he's great. Did he screw up? Did he get corrected? Absolutely. But you know what? He's going to rise above that standard. Because even though he got corrected and instructed, there's somebody who still believes in him and is going to treat him like he's here when he's only here. Wives, I'm letting you in on a little tip. He might be here. And Jesus is forever to the highest standard. But as you want to, as you treat Jesus, you got to treat your husband with that kind of honor and respect. And you know what? He will rise to the standard. Listen to what it said in 1 Peter chapter 3. You want your husband to be saved and he's not saved? Don't use words. Because as he watches your life and how you live and how you treat him, it's going to gain his attention. And that's going to leave room for the Holy Spirit to bring an understanding to him about your faith in God. It wasn't by the words you said. It was the way you lived and the way you treated him. You hear this. It is how you treat him. Listen, when we look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and it says, be submissive to your husband. And Ephesians chapter 5, wives, be submitted to your husband. And we look at that and we struggle with that word and that attitude. And we say, yeah, but, or he's not a Christian, or he's not living up to God like he should be. And la, 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 la. And we come up with all these reasons to treat our husbands less. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. Like Christ is, or like the church is supposed to be submitted to Christ. Listen, I know, wives, you want to honor the Lord. You are in a very unique place as a wife because you have this personal relationship with God. But part of your relationship and clarity in good standard with God, if you're a wife, is how you treat your husband. Listen, you can study the word all you want, and you can pray all you want, but if you are not honoring, respecting your husband, you're not listening to God. Listen, through the years of ministry, I've discovered something. I've watched something. I've spoken with wives who are spiritual, and I mean it, and I respect their spiritual walk. They are in the Word. They watch it on TV. Teachers, they go to conferences. They go to revival meetings. They go and they do all of these things, and they sing, and they have praise music, and all of this going on. And it's wonderful, and it's right, and it's good. And you say you're an intercessor and you pray a lot. Listen, I know it. And yet at home, you're not treating your husband with respect or honor like the Lord. I got news for you. You can pray all you want because I know what your praying is. It's you doing the talking and you're not listening to God at all in your prayers. Because God ain't going to step around that. He's not going to bypass it. Because God has an order. He has an order with everything. Orderly worship. He has order for our lives. There's order. God made all that exists and continues to perpetuate itself in creation. God has an order. It doesn't make woman less or man more. It's just order. So, wives, you do answer to God. But part of your doing the will of God, I want you to hear this because I don't know if I've ever heard it said. Part of doing the will of God, it's not an exception, but part of doing the will of God is doing the will of your husband. Let me tell you, I know that that's challenging and that's hard because his will might be different than yours. But God's will is different than all of ours. And yet we're trying to pursue his will and honor him. Part of honoring God's will and purpose in your life is for you to honor and respect your husband's will or wishes. Now, it doesn't mean all his will and wishes are great. It doesn't even mean all his will and wishes are even Christian. Some of them are just life wills and wishes that have nothing to do with Christianity. I mean, it's kind of like he likes his pants folded a certain way. Okay? He likes his pants folded a certain way, and you got a baby and two toddlers hanging off you all day. And he's got the gall to say, you know, when you're doing the laundry, I like my pants kind of folded the other way. And you want to say a lot of things. But with discretion, you only allow this to come out. And you say, you want your pants folded that way? Then you fold them. Now, there needs to be some understanding on the man's part, and he does need to be educated. It's not like you can't share with him, hey, I love you so much, I'd like you to be with me all day tomorrow. And just, you can sit on the couch. And you just watch what I do. And then let's talk about the laundry again. Okay? And he will understand that if you continue to do the laundry for him, that his pants will not probably be folded like he prefers until after the kids are all gone. And one day in retirement, he's going to go, hey, my pants are folded different. You know, we have to have some understanding as husbands. The things that we don't understand. But if we're just going to say, hey, you want your pants folded like that? You can fold them yourself. That sounds a lot like Jonah. You want me to go where and preach what? I know that if I do that, they're going to repent. And I am not interested in going and doing that and seeing that happen for those people. So you know what? I'm going the other way. You can find somebody else or do it yourself. I mean, that's the reality. I'm not taking stuff out of context here. That's the reality. And for us as husbands, if we do not love our wives to lay down our life for them, that's like saying, hey, you know what? Let me tell you about a little luxury that you have as a wife that we don't have as a husband. Women are going, yeah, right, I've heard enough already. And your wives are thinking, when's he going to start hitting on the husband verses in this? I got news for you. I'm not hitting on them today. It's not that they don't have to hear it. But a lot of the verses are going to take care of themselves if you honor and respect him. I don't know. That was pretty good so far. I've heard more male amens right now than I've heard in a long time. What's with that? Dude, you got guts. If your wife's here, you got guts saying that. I heard you say, oh, we don't have wives. We're all right. Yeah, you're going to have one, son. And guess what? And you better be nice to me because I'm going to pick her out for you. Wives, if we can understand that doing the will of God, part of doing the will of God, is doing the will of your husband. Now, here's the clause. And she's finally like, finally. Listen, here's the clause. In Acts chapter 4, verse 19. This is not in marriage, this is a principle. John and Peter are hauled in before the religious leaders or the Sanhedrin, and they're on trial because they've been speaking and talking about Jesus and doing ministry, and the people are liking it, but the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders, are having a problem with it because they feel like they're losing power with the people, okay? Because they're corrupt. They're religious. They don't know Jesus as Savior. Well, Peter and John do, and they're out doing the ministry of Jesus. Well, they get hauled into jail one night, and the next day they're supposed to stand before the Sanhedrin, and they're going to warn them, okay? And tell them, hey, you guys stop teaching and preaching in Jesus' name. Now, the Sanhedrin are a level of authority. And we know that God teaches that we are to submit to all authorities in our life. All authority is given by God. That's what Romans says. That's what Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So, we know that we're supposed to honor our authorities. But now, the authorities here crossed the line and said, don't you teach and preach in Jesus' name. And their response is this. Verse 18, then they called them in again, John and Peter, and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. Now God says we're supposed to submit to authorities, and they are authorities. But now the authorities cross the line. This isn't about personal preference or folding pants. The authority told them to do something that is in direct conflict with God's word. And at that point, they say, we've been submitted, we've done what you've said, but now you're asking to do something that is against God. We draw the line here. We will not go against God. Now that principle is in effect in all of our lives, and now I want to bring it specifically to wives and husbands. Your honoring the Lord and doing the will of God is doing the will of your husband until an issue comes up. And it doesn't mean that you can do whatever you want now and not do his will at all. It's just in this area where he instructs you to go against God's word and the will of God. As you can see, you know what? That goes against God. I can't do that. I love you, I respect you, I honor you, but that I can't do because it goes against his word. You ask me anything else, I will do your will. You can do the will of your husband in things that you think, you know, gee, is this right or wrong, or I don't know what to do. Listen, do the will of your husband so that he can see that in his honor and respect for him, that you're doing this unto God. Do the will of God by doing the will and the wishes of your husband. Here's the luxury that you have as a woman. It's just like a luxury of any of us who answer to someone. The person over me, okay, the head of me, told me to do something, and this is the way they wanted it done. So I did that. But somebody who's over the person who told me came to me and said, this is not how I want this done, or I don't want this done at all. And what you say is, I'm not passing the buck here, but I was just doing what I was told to do by so-and-so. At that point, you're off the hook. And they go to the one who told you to do it, who you answered directly to. You know, there's all these levels of authority and leadership in all of our lives. At that point, you are not in trouble for doing what you did. You did what you were told. But the big cheese noticed it and said, that's not what we're, oh, I need to go tell so-and-so that's not how we do it. This is where, wives, you have a luxury. Don't think for a moment that you are going to stand in judgment over something that your husband has the will to do and that you participate and you do it. Because you're doing it to please him so that you can honor God. And if it's something that you feel like, I'm not sure God's pleased with, you say, I'm just doing the will of the Father. I want to do the will of my husband. So Father, I want to please you. Then he goes to the husband and says, hey, what are you doing? You think that ain't going to work? My husband, he don't listen to God, and he's struggling, and he does this, and flies off the handle, and he don't listen to me, and blah, 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 blah. Listen, I got news for some of you women. I want to share this with you. I have had so many conversations with men over the ministry years who they appear to be very unspiritual, at least to their wives, and maybe even some people in the church. But I sit and have a coffee with them or meet in my office or meet somewhere private, and then nobody knows we're meeting together. This is just a conversation. And the things that come out of their mouth are some of the most spiritual and insightful things. And when they let the veneer come off and they're honest, it is some of the most integrity that I have heard or seen. Integrity with admitting faults, admitting where they struggle, admitting what they want to become, confessing sins. And I walk away and I go, now that's a person who is spiritual because they're not pretending. And they're being bashed at home like they're not spiritual and they're not listening. And why don't you get it? And why don't we pray together? And why don't we do this more together? And why don't you get to church? All this stuff that is outward that you think are the only signs that something's going on spiritual in your husband. I gotta tell you something. You honor and respect him, leave room for the Holy Spirit. Your job is to do the will of your husband in pleasing God until he tells you to do something directly conflict to Scripture. This is God's order. Here's the luxury that men do not have. They don't get the opportunity to say, well, I'm just doing the will of my wife. So go talk to her. I'm sorry I did this that didn't please you, but I was just, you know, go talk to her. He's not going to say, oh, okay. He's going to say, I ain't talking to your wife. I'm talking to you. The whole, it's this woman you gave me, and she gave me the apple. She gave me the fruit. Oh, well, that's okay then, Adam. I'll go talk to Eve. That is not how the garden account goes. Hello. Adam! Where are you? I'm looking for you. Call Eve. Eve, you go out there. Hey, Adam! Sir, here's the high calling of being a husband. You answer directly to God for you and how you treat your wife. You want your prayers heard? You want to be spiritual and attain the blessing that you seek? The scripture says you treat her good. You don't treat her good? Your prayers aren't heard. I don't care how long you babble. I don't care how much scripture you quote. God is not going to work around that or skip that. It's okay, women, to say, mm-hmm. You know, we pray a lot, God, show me your will. I just want to follow you. As wives, Christian wives. Listen, you maybe need to change your prayer a little bit. Don't stop praying that, but add to it and say, you know what, God, would you reveal to me the will of my husband? Help me pick up on it. Because that is what I'm supposed to be doing in being a Christian wife. There's a great desire for all of us to understand why authorities in our life do the things that they do. We want to understand, okay? But some of the desire to understand misleads us and very subtly leads us into a fracture in the relationship. Because when we want to learn or have the desire to understand why they're doing the things they do, it's so that we can understand it, so that we feel like we can approve of it, so we can participate in it. Listen, I don't understand everything God calls or asks me to do. And it's okay to ask why. But if he doesn't answer, the bottom line is I'm here to do his will and his desire, whether I understand it or not. Well, if that's the parallel, women, I want you to know it's okay to ask questions. But don't come with the desire to understand and let the desire to understand your husband's will or wishes, don't let that be the supreme desire. Let the supreme desire be, I want to do your will because I want to do the will of God. I want to know what your wishes are so that I can fulfill them so that I'm doing right in God's sight. If we do these things, listen, it doesn't mean that your husband's going to be made perfect. It's that it leaves room for the Holy Spirit to do the work, and you as a wife don't get in the way. I've watched it. I've watched husbands get in the way of wives' spiritual development, and I've watched wives get in the way of husbands' developments, and they both think they're helping. Well, he doesn't seem to be listening to the Lord, so I am going to get his attention. Let me tell you how you get his attention. Honor God by honoring your husband. She will be more receptive to you, sir, if she sees you providing for her the security that she needs. And I'm not talking about just financial. If you lay down your life for her and have that attitude, she's going to feel secure. And you can say, well, that's just feelings. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Feelings have a lot to do with it. And it's part of how God made us. If you don't feel honor and respect, sir, as a husband or in your home, you don't function real well. It doesn't take you off the hook. Because whether you're honored or respected, you're supposed to be listening anyhow. It just helps us listen better when we're honored and respected, just like it helps a wife do better if she feels secure. Oh, yeah. How could I forget? Well, I was saving this kind of for last. I feel, and this, I can't base this on scripture, this part. I'm just being honest with you. I'm just telling you forthright. I don't want to abuse the pulpit, but I'm just going to share with you what I feel like God has spoken to my heart over some time. And he's just brought it to the surface where I'm finally going to say something, because this has been years. It's this. How many of you like to know what God is sick of? I mean, we know what he loves and what he hates, but I'll tell you what one thing he's sick of. He is sick of sending spiritual awakening and revival to the church when it doesn't translate from what happens at the church into our personal life, home, and marriage. He sends a spirit of revival to the church, and he's glad to do it. And we get excited, and we get moved upon, and we weep, and we repent, and we, you know, and we do all these things that are right and good. But when we leave the building, it doesn't begin to transfer and transform us. And he sends this spirit of revival and opportunity to us, and it doesn't correlate into the depths of our relationship. Do you know how frustrating it is for husbands and wives to watch each other touched by God significantly, go to the altar, worship in an expressive way, and see them cry and have tears and get sensitive before the Lord, and all of these things go on, and all of it's good, and we get hopeful, and we and then we come home and nothing changes in the marriage. I've talked with husbands and wives over the years. And they think, I'm grateful for what God's doing, and I'm not here to complain. I feel a little bad about it. But can God be doing all this and just bypassing, not speaking to my husband, not speaking to my wife about who we're supposed to be as a husband and wife? That doesn't make sense. It causes people to begin to doubt, is it really a move of God? They don't want to doubt it. They're not trying to put it under a microscope, but they're seeing the priority of what God wants to do in people's lives and in relationships, and it's like, oh, that's stepped over, and yet we're having revival. God's not stepping around this. It's that we're not listening. It's that we're not taking what God really wants to put in us. We're calling it revival and excitement, and we do more for missions, and I pray more, and I study, and all of that's good and right. But we act like this isn't important to God. Or this is just, you know, a carnal relationship. It's not really me and him. Listen, God says things in his word. Wife, honor your husband like you honor me. Husbands, love your wife like Jesus loved the church and he gave himself up for her. Husband, you want me to hear your prayer, sir? You start treating your wife good. Oh, you want your husband? You want him to be more godly? Then listen, close your mouth and start honoring him. And he's going to notice your faith. God's got this all figured out. It was his idea. He knows how it works. He has an order. And you and I are stuck trying to do things that we think are better or right. Or, well, you know, I tried that. That didn't work. Well, you honored him for 3 days? And now he's supposed to be this man of God? Hey, keep toiling, keep sowing, keep hopeful. Listen. Husbands have sat in the pew and listen to their wives. Adore Jesus. Tell him how great he is. How they just, you know, you won't relent until you have it all. I give you my heart. And husbands have stood silent in the pew and said, boy, I'm glad she loves the Lord. How I wish I could hear her tell me those things. And because he doesn't feel the honor and doesn't feel the respect, he doesn't listen and he withdraws. And you think, I know you're here. Hello. You know, hello. I know you're physically here, but am I getting through to you? And you all of a sudden you start talking to us like you're our mom. Well, what do you want us to do? You're not listening. You're right. We're not listening. And sometimes it's our fault. God has an order, and he has a desire for the church to be so close. For men, I'll use the word close. Women, so intimate. I don't want to alienate anybody. So close to us. You, his bride, must be so close to you. Not just prayer lists, But conversation, interaction, back and forth. Listen, that's the parallel for husbands and wives. Listen, there are things that God requires and asks of me, just like you, that I just don't feel like doing. It's not that I don't love them or have sentiment towards them. I do. But you know what? I'm going to do it. Push come to shove, and after the argument and the wrestling's all done, I'm going to do it because I want to do as well. Wives, you know what that is to Christian woman. You know what that is to ask God to ask something of you and you're not real excited about it, or it's kind of a hard work. It's kind of something to work. But the bottom line is, a Christian woman, you're going to... What about translating that to your husband? Husband, what about translating that to your wife? What about gaining insight to who she is and the calling she has as a wife to you? I mean, how humbling is that? That God has given to you a flawful man, a wife, who's supposed to honor you and respect you and love you, and yet have a place in our life where we feel challenged, not with disrespect or dishonor. Wives, it's okay to bring stuff up to him. This is a oneness thing. And there's a time for him to know your feelings and know your thoughts and to know your disappointments. But you will have a clearer conscience in communicating those things to him if you know in your heart of hearts you have honored him and respected him. And you know that when you go to him, God's principles in action, and there is a great opportunity that he will listen to you. Because he's created something in men who have a desire to be married. They really do. They really do. Deep down inside, they really do. They really, really get excited about pleasing their wife. They do. They want her to be happy. They do. They want her to be happy. They want to take care of her. Now, you think, oh, not my husband. He's wait a second. There's a lot of things out of order here. And a lot of things have robbed us of what God has put within us. Listen, all of us in all kinds of areas. There are things and ways that God has created us and made us to be, and they have been robbed, and they have been taken from, and they have been broken, and they've healed funny, and we try to function right, and things that... Listen, in the heart of a man, his desire is to please his wife. I'll share something else with you that you as wives may not know, because you don't feel it. But there's some things that are out of order. He would really rather spend time and go do something with you. He would. You may not believe me because he just runs off and does his own thing all the time. But if you would honor and respect him, he would feel like you take interest in him. And he'll succumb to it because he's wired that way. Oh, he'll still want to, you know, do his hobby and do that kind of stuff. And frankly, if you're a healthy, normal wife, you want him out of here sometimes. Please. Listen, I've had a number of wives talk to me over the years of ministry too and say, I love my husband, don't take this wrong. Could you call him and go do something? The pastor's the catch-all, man. You're the pastor. I don't want to put too much on you, but can you get my husband out of the house? And there's health with that. Okay? But if you think he just always wants to run off and do his own thing, he has no interest doing something with you. Listen, you honor and respect him, he'll actually walk through a mall with you. Well, walk might be a little generous. He will grab coffee and sit on the bench. In fact, is Doug Buddy here this morning? Hi, Doug! Saw him yesterday. This was great. Because this is even worse than going to the mall with your wife. Not that, you know, and naturally, not that that's a horrible thing, but, you know. They were actually doing, Bonnie was doing some shopping and some planning and getting stuff for their daughter's wedding. That's worse than just going to the mall with your wife. Okay, in the context of men's, general men's thinking. It was wonderful. We came in, Sue and I and one of our daughters went to the mall and walked in, and Doug was sitting in the Onalaska Mall. So if you're familiar with it, you'll know where this is. We came in through Macy's into the mall, and Doug was sitting on the bench in front of Gloria Jean's. And we said hi and talked to him for a minute and came in, and we went on our way, and we were in the mall for a while because we had to go to the shoe stores. And and actually, I loved it. I wasn't letting her leave there without getting her some shoes. And it has nothing to do with her Valentine's gift. Just had to do with getting her shoes. And it's not because I want another pair of cowboy boots. Although I do, but that has nothing to do with it. And the funny thing was, we're back and forth in the mall, because you can't go to all the stores in order. We come back down the hallway, the short little hallway, to go back through Macy's, because we parked outside Macy's door. And now we come through, I look at the bench in front of Gloria Jean's where Doug was over an hour ago. And he was no longer there. He moved down the hallway to sit in front of the bench in front of Macy's. So he moved about, you know, 40 feet, 50 feet. Still sitting there. And I didn't hear one complaint come out of his mouth. And you know why? Because my wife was standing amongst us. No. Doug was a good man. Sat there with his coffee. So he may not, you know, we may not walk through the whole mall with you, but, you know, we'll go without complaint for some of the day. Honor and respect. We're glad to lay down our life because it's the way we're wired. We want to love you. Listen, your husband wants to love you. Your husband wants to have a close relationship. Your husband wants to know what it is that excites you. He wants to spend time with you. He does. I'm telling you, he does. And this is where I don't get it, but we need some help doing it. And so this is a plea to wives to help us. Help pave the way for us to be better. It's not dependent upon you because we need to be strong enough to do it regardless of how we're treated. But you could really help us if you will honor us and respect us beyond what we deserve. The Holy Spirit will help us speak to us in ways that you won't see and that you won't hear, because you know what? He's not asking for your counsel. You will leave room for him. And just in how God created your husband, and room for the Holy Spirit to speak to him, that he will rise to a standard of a man and a husband that you have maybe only dreamt of. And it won't happen overnight. But if you can help us by honoring and respecting, it helps pave a way for a road for us to walk. We don't feel like we got to step over stuff and try to work around, you know, and all these, there's enough of that to do just in ourselves. If you can help us. If you can help us. And wives, I know you're saying, yeah, well, there's some things he can do to help me become a better wife. I know that. That's maybe another Sunday. I'm not putting all the, please don't walk out of here as this is some chauvinistic thing. I'm just talking about God's order. You got a problem with his order? You know what? And talk to him about it. If you're newer to the church and you say, well, I like this church. I was ready to be excited about this church. But now after this, I don't know if I'm coming back here. Listen, God bless you. It's okay. It's okay. It's all right. It's all right. You can slice and dice this differently to justify the condition you're in so that you feel like you're okay. But I want you to know the results aren't going to be any different than what you already have. If you want me to say that again, listen to the podcast. Get the CD. There are things that we can do to help one another. I mean, none of us went into marriage to sign up for, you know, unfulfillment. You stood there in front of the judge or at that altar or in the park or wherever the wedding was with the dreams that this is going to be great. We know each other's flaws as husbands and wives. But I have to look at me first. The problems we have, we can't be just pointing the finger. We have to look at me. There are things we can do to help one another. It is a tall order for husbands to know that the standard is that they have to be identical to Jesus. I'll never make it without his grace or without my wife's grace. I just won't make it. I won't make it. And it's a tall order for a wife to treat her husband like Jesus when he is not Jesus. But you and I can arrive to that standard that's beyond us. He would not call us to something that he could not empower us to do. He calls us to the impossible, but he makes up the difference between what is possible for us, because in all of this, there are some very possible things to do and change. And as we do, and we show that as steps of faith, he makes up the difference of what is impossible for us to do on our own. Let's stand together, please, all over this room. I've got to tell you something. It's not the big events, the big heartbreaks, the big events, the big incidences that break up the marriage. I'll just tell you that. It was all the little stuff that piled up over time. The day in, the day out, the week by week, the month by month, that empties our bucket, that makes it like we have no more strength, we're all sapped. If we can take care of the little foxes that eat the vine, we'll be able to handle the big events better. That we hang our hat on and say, yep, see? I knew you were unfaithful, or whatever it is. No, it wasn't the big event that blew it apart. It was all the little stuff that paved the way for the big event to happen. We can solve that. We can solve that stuff for us. You can do this. He is for you. It's his idea. He wouldn't call you to something that he can't help you get to. He'll do it. We need to do it his way. If it wasn't modeled to you, I'm sorry. But it is modeled to you. So quit using it as an excuse. It's the church and Jesus. Jesus and the Father. Jesus came to do the will of who? And what he did was the will of the Father. Part of doing the will of the Father was loving us. Couldn't do the will of the Father without loving us and without serving humanity.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.